On this week's Talking with Topher,
I had no idea that you are actually supposed to get sick. I was like, man, I don't get sick. I haven't gotten COVID. I am killing this game. I don't think there is such a thing as a cheaper hobby.
Execution?
I don't think that word should be in there. And now let's get into episode 196. What is happening, TWT fans? It is so good to be back on this January 4th, 2024. And how is everybody doing? I ain't got anything to rhyme with that yet. So I'm glad to be back. I'm feeling a little under the weather today, and I'll get into that a little bit more. But first, let me start off the way I always do by saying thank you. Thank you to all my subscribers. Thank you to the new subscribers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you are stopping by or checking out the podcast for the first time, remember to hit that subscribe button, all right? That's what makes the podcast bigger. That's what keeps me coming back here week after week. So hit that subscribe button. It's free for you, so why not do it, right? Talking with Topher at gmail.com. That's T-A-L-K-I-M with Topher at gmail.com. If you want your opportunity to be a guest or tell your story, you gotta send an email, all right? Send it on over to T-A-L-K-I-M with Topher at gmail.com. You can send an audio, video, or type it out. And then, of course, the Linktree. Don't forget about the Linktree link, all right? It's in the description below the video. It's the easiest way to share this podcast and help me make it bigger. So copy that link and share it with everyone you know. Of course, you can also go ahead and click it, and it will give you access to everything TWT. It's just that easy. What's happening, everybody? I hope you had a Merry Christmas. I hope you had an amazing New Year. Hope it was safe. Hope you made it to it. I know I did. And so here we are. I'm wearing a Christmas shirt still because I had a few of these that I completely forgot to wear. So I'm just rocking whatever I got in the closet right now for the podcast. It's been a while since I've been sick or under the weather, and it has now happened twice. So I guess that's a good thing. From what I've heard about being sick, there's three different scales of being sick. There's somebody who is always sick. That's not good. There is the person that is never sick, which I thought I was. And I also found out that that is not good or healthy. And then there's the person that gets sick a couple times a year. And that means you have a normal working immune system, which I was blown away by. I had no idea that you are actually supposed to get sick. I was like, man, I don't get sick. I haven't gotten COVID. I am killing this game. And then I listened to a podcast and they said the complete opposite. Of course, I did some digging and some investigating and, well, they were right. I had no idea. So not getting sick for a long, long period of time is actually your, not immune system. It's got a name to it, but that system is dormant and sleeping and not active and working. So therefore, you're in an almost unhealthy state because if you do get sick, it becomes that much worse because your system's not doing what it's regularly supposed to be doing. So I'm actually happy that this happened, but I'm also upset that it happened. I missed a day of work. But I get to record this. So it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. I hate feeling this way. I hate being sick. I think all of us do, but for some reason, I just turn into a complete bitch when I'm sick. Such a whiny, whiny brat. Everything is just whiny, whiny, whiny. I annoy myself. It's so frustrating. But I guess this is a good, healthy, working, I'm just going to call it an immune system today, but they called it something else. So I've just been kind of dealing with this today. I have, you know, it just sucks, man. Who enjoys being sick, right? Who enjoys this? None of us. But I really did think me not getting sick for a long period of time was very healthy. And it turns out it is not very healthy at all. It's actually the opposite, and that blew my mind, and I just, you know. So I'm dealing with this the best I can. I'm going to get some rest after this. I'm going to eat some food and try to sleep this away, and hopefully in the next couple days, I will be ready to rock and roll again. And this is just a small hiccup in my busy weekend that we just had. Because we just got done with Christmas and driving around. And I don't know about you, but we are the ones that get to do all the traveling. So it was Pepperell, Christmas Eve Eve, Drake It, Christmas Eve, and then it was Epsom and Derry for Christmas. So a lot of traveling. I think being around all the kids is what did this. You know, one of the, I guess it's a kind of a benefit, but one of the benefits of not having kids is you don't get illnesses that often. You know, kids bring that stuff home. They're little bacteria factories, and they bring all kinds of wonderful things home and share them with you. So you must have an amazing working immune system. Because, you know, when you don't get sick and the kids are, well, that shows that your system's working properly, right? Because you've been sick so many times with what they brought home before. But I don't have that. So being around all the kids and doing these things, I might have just caught something, you know? It's just the way life is. It has this funny way of letting you know how human you are. You know, you feel a particular way like I did for so long because I didn't get any illnesses or feel upset about anything, you know, my body, my stomach, whatever. And then all of a sudden this stuff just hits you and you're like, oh, this is what that is. I forgot about this. And by the way, it is very, very unenjoyable. So I want it to go away again. But you know, I just think it's very important that we all, I just want everybody out there to be healthy. And I guess one of the other ways to be healthy is to have a working immune system that allows you to get sick a couple times a year. So if you're somebody like I was, who was not getting sick, well, you need to activate that system and you need to go get sick. 'Cause it's actually unhealthy to not have that activated and working. You know, the Christmas was great. It was quiet, a lot of driving, and it was just awesome to see it. You ever get presents for people and you're like, I don't know if they're going to like this. And then like you give it and it turns out to be a hit. It is like one of the best feelings. I had so much anxiety for so many gifts that I purchased and they all wound up being a hit. And I just was like, holy shit. Pulled it off. You know, you get like that. You ever worry about it? You know, I do a lot. I'm like, man, I hope my wife's happy with this. I hope my mom likes this. I hope my dad likes that. You know what I mean? Like, you put some thought into things. You think people are going to like them. And it wasn't like I was like looking for the perfect gift. It was just, I was hoping that what I got, they liked, you know. I did get some stuff that I really liked, but you know, it is what it is, right? It's not about what you receive. It's just about the time spent with the people. And when you get to a certain point, you just don't care about the things. You know, you just don't. It's not as important, you know, like a few of us had these conversations over the last 3 days. And it was just like, you know, I buy stuff all the time. You know, when I need something, I get it, or I save up for it and I get it. So I'm never really in need of anything. And when people are like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even think about myself. I've been so busy buying gifts for everybody else that, like, I don't know what I want, you know? But then you take a look through that Amazon cart and then the stuff that you put on, you know, save later or whatever. And you're like, oh, wait, I did want one of these. I wanted this. And you always try to, you know, find an affordable thing that you wanted, right? Because our wants exceed our needs. And our wants usually exceed our paychecks, too. I don't know about you, but everything I like and everything I want is just super expensive today. And inflation and price increases and product quality drop was not, you know, something I thought of when I was thinking of these things. I mean, electronics and TVs have come way down. TVs have come way down. But electronics and computers and stuff like that, man, they have, like, skyrocketed. Cameras, oh, my God. Oh, my God, cameras are expensive. And I can't believe what they get for a lens. I just can't. I never thought a lens could be $800 for, I don't know, a little bit more zoom than what I'm getting, you know? It is crazy. It's crazy to me what they get for a camera lens. And then when I talk to people who deal with cameras, they're like, yeah, this is how it is. I'm like, wow. You got to take out a friggin' loan and extend yourself just to be able to buy a couple cameras. It's crazy. You know, and then to get the lenses on top of them, you know, you need, I would love to eventually get four of these cameras and then get four of those lenses. But, you know, I mean, you're talking a lot of money, a lot of money. Each item is 800. So it's crazy. Very expensive. You know, my mother-in-law was talking about how my father-in-law has this hobby of his, and he builds Legos. He's super into Legos. He's super into Star Wars, so he's building all these giant Lego things. And she's like, you need to pick a cheaper hobby. And I'm like, I don't think there is such a thing as a cheaper hobby. This is my hobby right here. You know, I love podcasting. I love everything that has to... that I have to do for it, the process, the recording, the editing, the whole nine. I mean, all of it is just, it's a lot involved. It's a lot of time and energy spent. But the equipment is also super expensive. It's changing rapidly every year, and you try to keep up with this stuff so that your sound's good, your picture's good, everything's good. And it, even when I was skateboarding, when I was younger, that was an expensive hobby, you know, because it was kind of out of my means. You know, if I wanted new trucks or a new board, you'd have to save up for that. So I don't know about you, but I don't think that there's any cheap hobbies out there. Are there hobbies that start out affordable? Yeah, I do believe that. I believe all hobbies start out affordable. It's when you get into the hobby and you want to do the things that other people are doing with that hobby, that's when it gets expensive, when you start trying to keep up with the Joneses, in a sense, right? I'm sure crocheting, sewing, those little diamond dot thing, I'm sure all of that eventually gets to a point where you want the next big thing, and it's just expensive. So, I don't know. I felt I was safe by saying there are no cheap hobbies, you know? Any hobby you have, you're going to be investing in. And it's eventually going to be expensive. But you can keep it relatively affordable for the most part. But, you know, I don't think there's progress. Or progression. I don't think there's progression in that. I think the progression happens when you upgrade and you get the next big thing and you know what I mean? Same with podcasting, though. You know, I'm sure everybody out there can tell the difference between my webcam and this cam, and that's fine. I can tell the difference, but at the same time, you know, I've definitely upgraded the studio. Man, I think after I got these three cameras and the computer, I think I've upgraded the studio now in the last 2 years, maybe four or five times. So, and I'm getting ready to do it again. I need to get a better seating for my guests. I need to change a few things with the mic arms and stuff like that. And I need to get some more mics, and we need to do some more stuff in the studio. So it's constantly changing, constantly upgrading, and it's just constantly fun, you know, because it's always learning. I just worry about what did I lose when I learned something new? What went out the door, you know? Every time I learn something new, anytime I'm at work and I learn something new, I'm always like, shit, I wonder what I lost. I'm looking forward to New Year's, you know. By the time you watch this, it's already happened, but for me, hasn't happened yet. You know, I'm not really looking forward to, like, change in the new year. I'm not expecting a lot of change. I'm not starting anything new. I am extending my goals. I am, you know, reaching some of them by February, March. A lot of the work around the house should be done come this spring. And then it's time for all new projects. And I have been really trying to do much better with myself, with my working out and no vaping and no drinking and all these things, keeping them going, staying on top of them, and of course, starting the new goals and hopefully getting those to where I want them to be. You know, hey, look, if you got New Year's resolutions, I wish you the best of luck. I really do. Some people can do it. Some people can quit smoking cold turkey. You know, they can do it. It can be done. I just don't have the mindset for it. I just don't. It's too much. It's too overwhelming for me. And when I break things down and extend them over time and make them manageable and reachable, that's where I succeed. So if that's not where you succeed, and you succeed whenever you set a New Year's resolution and you get that New Year's resolution done, well, then that's what works for you. I did say that, like, I don't think New Year's resolutions are good, but at the same time, I don't want anybody to think that, like, I don't think it's a good idea if it works for you. You know? Of course I do. Not the way I do everything, I don't think works for anybody else but myself, you know, but I'm putting it out there to see if anything sticks for anybody out there. And so far, a bunch of you have written back and let me know that some of my advice is good advice. So I appreciate all of that because, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to make my second half a better half, you know. I probably only got a good 37 years left or 36 years at this point. You know, I think 80 is a good one. I don't want to go too much further than that, but you never know. I might want to by the time I get there. You know, I just talked to one of my family members, and he just turned 75. And he's still active and enjoying life. You know, so that makes me hopeful. Because if he looks that good at 75, I can only hope that me doing what I'm doing now will make me that much better when I reach that age. Of course, if the planet and the people don't blow themselves up first, I might be able to see that. But where we're at today, it's very difficult to even make that prediction. Does anybody remember 5-year plans? Does anybody do that anymore? I did stop. I stopped because I stopped when we got locked down. Cause I was like, man, I can't tell you what's gonna happen from a week from now. You know, the world wasn't opening, everything was locking down, we were closed, stay home, da 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 da. And I was like, man, I think I'm done with the five-year plan. I had just finished up a five-year plan, and I was like, I don't think I'm starting a new one. Because I used to always make five-year plans. I'd make goals. I make yearly plans. I make five-year plans. And they would work out for the most part. And I've said so many times, you don't want to do these long things. That's why I had multiples, right? I had things that I was working on this year, right? I have things that I'm working on, you know, after those things are done and completed. And then I have the things that, like, where I would like to be because I'm doing all of this in 5 years. So I hope that draws a better picture of the way I was thinking of a five-year plan and why I now say that I don't think it's a good idea to plan that far ahead. There's way too many things that can go wrong at any moment in time. You know, I recently just heard of another country thinking about starting a war with another one. I was like, oh, wow, really? So this will be the third one starting up? If this happens, what is happening? You know, what is happening? I don't want six countries fighting against each other right now. It just seems like too much. And what are we going to do, you know? Are we going to fund another one? I don't want to. I don't even think we can. I think at this point we're playing with funny money. I don't even think we're playing with real money anymore. It's crazy. It's crazy to think about, you know, where we're at, where we were. And how do you plan for it all? How do you make a plan for it all? I'm not sure. Let's take a quick break so you can hear from my sponsor. Well, it's January 2024, everybody, and Slow Down Clothing is your one-stop shop for all things tattooed-inspired art and apparel. Whether you're a hardcore tattoo lover or just appreciate edgy, unique designs, we've got something for everyone. From stylish shirts and kids' tees to eye-catching embroidered hats with images on the bill. We're here to help you express your individuality with every piece worn. At Slow Down Clothing, we understand that fashion is more than just clothing. It's a lifestyle. That's why we offer a wide range of women's leggings that are as comfortable as they are fashionable. Looking to stay warm and stylish during the coldest months? Check out our collection of jackets, sweatshirts, and sweatpants that combine artistry with comfort. But we're not just apparel. We're all about the accessories too. Need gloves for shoveling, gardening, or any other outdoor activity? Look no further. Our gloves are designed to keep your hands protected while making a statement with unique and tattooed-inspired artwork. In addition to apparel, we also offer a selection of skateboards that feature bold, eye-catching designs. And if you're all about the details, don't miss our hat, sock, pin combo, the perfect way to add a touch of personality to everyday accessories. With so much to choose from, you're sure to find something that speaks to your individual style. Remember to visit us at slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com and use the promo code TOPHER before you check out for an extra 10% off your entire purchase. Slow down, express yourself, and embrace the art of fashion with Slow Down Clothing. And I'm back, everybody, and we're going to get into some Topher's topics. And hopefully by now I've fixed most of the thirds. I know that the camera angles are not quite where they were before, but I'm still having trouble with OBS and this Windows 11 thing. So, you know, as always, I thank everybody for sticking with me as I go through all of these changes, hiccups, and growing pains. All right, so 15 members of fentanyl trafficking ring indicted for bringing drugs from Massachusetts to New Hampshire. Oh, boy. You know? I mean, this stuff is just awful. And this is a true drug crime right here. This is what people should be getting arrested for. And don't get it mixed up with the simple fact that I still do believe that all drugs should be legal at this point. I do not believe in the drug war. I'm not a fan of this. I don't think it's right. But I do think what these people are doing with fentanyl, putting it in Adderall pills, ecstasy pills, lacing marijuana, just using it to up the ante on everything out there, that is a crime. The fact that people can no longer today say, I just tried cocaine and I didn't like it, or vice versa, I tried cocaine and I loved it, whatever. Most people who try cocaine today are also trying fentanyl, and that is disgusting and wrong, and you shouldn't be thinking that you're doing something while doing something else and getting highly, highly addicted to it. So even though I really do believe that legalizing all drugs would lessen that from happening, unfortunately, we still have a war on drugs, and these drugs are illegal, and therefore, I guess I'm happy that these drugs are now off the streets. Now, this is probably only a drop in the bucket in the fentanyl world, but still, let's watch this video.
15 people from New Hampshire and Massachusetts have been indicted tonight in connection with a fentanyl trafficking ring. Investigators have been working on this case for 2 years. They say the leader of the drug trafficking operation was using social media to coordinate transactions with drug runners moving from Lawrence, Massachusetts to locations all over New Hampshire.
Snapchat.
My message to families today is that a common social media apps can be used to connect young people with suppliers of deadly drugs.
Some of those defendants could face up to 20 years in prison.
Ooh, so they were online. So you know what this is? This is all the Snapchat shit I see. Do not buy this stuff, everybody. There's a lot of it out there that is just fake as fuck. It is not even what you think you are purchasing. I understand you want these things. I understand that maybe some of the places that you've ordered from were real. All right, fine. But all those Snapchats where they show hundreds and hundreds of cartridges and chocolate bars and all the gummies and the flour by the pound and all this shit, it usually is shit, or it's laced with shit. I get it. You're not 21, but I mean, if anybody is over the age of 21 and you're not going to a dispensary at this point, I don't know what you're doing. You need to just go to a dispensary. There's some amazing ones. I mean, I go to Smith's all the time at Lowell. And there's many others that I've gone to. Nature's Remedy, I believe, is a really good one. There's so many of them now. And if you live anywhere close to the border, it's so easy to just cross over, go get what you need and go home. And it's legal and you can pay for it and you know, it's what it's supposed to be. And this is why I think everything should be legal, because if you had places that could do this with anything, at least then I believe you would know it's at least what it's supposed to be and not something that you're not even remotely thinking of, you know, and then you die from it. And it's just, it's so stupid that they are doing this and that they just don't care whether or not you can be a repeat customer. And they are saying that they're doing this so that you'll become a permanent repeat customer. But unfortunately, this stuff is just too strong and it's too dangerous and it's so easy for people to overdose on it. So it's so stupid to go and do this and make people highly addicted. But maybe they look at it like, well, if one out of 10 dies, I just got 9 new customers, right? And they're hooked. So they might be looking at the law of averages, you know? So for every 10 people that they serve, 9 come back because 1 didn't make it. You know, not a very high percentage of loss on their end, you know, which is disgusting to say because we're talking about human life, right? We are talking about human life. Crazy, crazy. Just think about it next time you're making these purchases, you know? All right, so this one here, starfish bodies aren't bodies at all, the study finds. So what are they? The heads of most animals are easily identifiable by scientists, but scientists haven't been able to say the same for sea stars until now. A starfish that has 5 identical arms with a layer of tube feet beneath them that can help marine culture move along the sea floor, causing naturalists to puzzle over whether sea stars have defined front and back ends, and if they have heads at all. But genetic research suggests the opposite. The sea stars are largely heads and lack torsos and tails, and likely lost those features evolutionary over time. The researchers said that the bizarre fossils of sea star ancestors, which appeared to have kind of a torso, make a lot more sense in evolutionary terms in light of new findings. The findings were published Wednesday in Journal Nature. It is as if the sea star is completely missing a trunk, the best described as just a head crawling along the seafloor, said lead study author Laurent Formery, postdoctoral scholar at Stanford University and the University of California, Berkeley. In this statement, it is not at all what scientists have assumed about these animals. The revolutions made possible by new methods of genetic sequencing could help answer some of the biggest remaining questions about echinoderms, including their shared ancestry with humans and other animals that look nothing like them. So that's really cool. So these things, and you can read the article, I'll stop there, but these things are just heads. They're just heads crawling around the ocean floor. They're not even a body. Isn't that crazy? I didn't know they were just heads. I mean, that's wild to think about. Let's see here. Researchers surprised at levels of toxicity in standard plastic products. Come on. Really? Really? How are we shocked? How are we even surprised? Our entire planet today is made of plastic. You don't think this stuff is toxic? Well, it wasn't as toxic as asbestos. It wasn't as toxic as lead. It wasn't as toxic as name it. Yeah, all of that stuff was non-toxic at one point. Look at the non-stick shit Teflon that we put on all our cookingware. Turned out to be poisonous as hell, right? Now you've got like diamonds and ceramic and all this other shit that they're putting on pots and pans and getting away from the chemicals of Teflon. Now they say that they're chemical free. They might be, but we're going to find a chemical in that one day. We're going to find a chemical in everything. Why? Because it takes chemicals to make shit. So yeah, of course, over time, all chemicals seem to leach and they seem to enter our bodies. How many times do you think a pot and pan got tested for heating, cooling, washing, scrubbing, eating, cool, all of it? The entire process. Do you think they ever tested that stuff until it was too late? The plastic which we surround ourselves contains a range of chemical additives that can be leached out into water systems in the natural environment. This can happen both before and during the plastic degeneration process. Even if it takes a long time for products to break down into microscopic plastic, particles, the chemicals start to leach from the plastic as soon as it enters the waters. Researchers have been trying to find out more about whether the phenomenon is harmful to animals and perhaps also to humans. In this project, we've been focusing on impacts on marine organisms and chemical additives in plastic, says. To do this, we've been studying the variety of marine species. During the first screening exercise, we've examined two groups of microorganisms, bacteria and microalgae, also known as phytoplankton. These species are easy to work with and provide us quick answers that we can use to help us map out the future direction of our research, she says. So they're doing research. They're checking this out. Plastic is leaching into the water. It's contaminating the sea creatures, which is contaminating our water, which is contaminating us. It's just this endless cycle that we just keep poisoning everything, and then we have to eat everything that we poison, and then we poison ourselves. What a circle of shit, huh? Seriously, think about that circle. Poisoning ourselves when we're drinking out of the bottle, and then we're poisoning ourselves when we eat the fish and everything out of the water because we poisoned them with the plastic. So it's just a circle of poison. And we're doing it to ourselves. Why are the researchers so surprised? That's what's surprising to me. All right. Scientists repeat nuclear fusion breakthrough 3 times. Federal scientists have repeated their breakthrough towards nuclear fusion energy 3 times this year and now say that they can consistently produce fusion energy. Light. Last year, the Energy Department announced its scientists had achieved a breakthrough, receiving a net energy gain from a nuclear fusion reactor for the first time. It later announced that it had repeated the achievement, getting a net energy gain for the second time in July. A recent report from the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory showed it got a net gain 2 additional times, both in October. These results demonstrated the National Ignition Facility's ability to consistently produce fusion energy at multiple megajoule levels. The report said, in a nuclear fusion reaction, atoms are fused together to create energy. Nuclear energy used today is produced by different processes known as fission, in which atoms are split apart. Nuclear fusion does not create waste that requires long-term storage, as today's fission power does. Despite the breakthrough's widespread use of nuclear fusion, power remains years, if not decades, away. Though the Biden administration has touted it as a potential source of climate-friendly energy. So, oh boy, they got nuclear fusion to work. They got it to hold. They got it to produce. And it's not going to be for another couple decades that they're actually going to be able to stabilize it, implement it, and use it. But we're going to go all electric by 2035. That's only a decade away. So is he anticipating that all of this is going to be said and done by then? He probably doesn't even know what day it is unless somebody tells him. Let's be honest about that, right? That man has no idea where he is going, what he's doing, or where he is. Maybe he doesn't even know who he is today. Zoom through a spectacular chain of ancient underwater volcanoes on the Antarctic Ocean floor. Okay, so what we're watching here, in case you are just listening, this is like a sonogram or, sound wave type of file for mapping out the bottom of the ocean. And we are now on the bottom of the ocean, and a lot of these mountain areas that we are passing by is lava that was underneath the surface that moved the underneath of the surface and now has left hollow like caves everywhere. So the lava goes in, it pushes it up, it pushes through it, and then it makes these cavernous like mountains. You can see through them. You can enter them. You can come out of them. I think one's right. Yeah, see right there. You can actually see through it. But really cool to see how all of this happens, and to see how it's reshaping the bottom of the ocean. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't need to go to the bottom of the ocean to see it, just like I don't need to get into a rocket to see space. I am one of those people that's very content with all the false material that I look at, showing me everything out in space and showing me everything at the bottom of the ocean. It's very, very cool to see it all, see how it changed the landscape, and maybe kind of understand a little bit better for myself why we get so many earthquakes. And let's see here. This white man is beaten into a coma after he tried to stop a teen takeover in Oakland. You didn't hear about this because it doesn't fit the narrative. And that's absolutely correct. Because it's a white man getting his ass beat. All right, so this is the video of the gentleman getting attacked. I'm going to give you fair warning up front. This is extremely violent. So if you have a weak stomach or soft, you can't take it, please skip the video. But I'm going to play it right now. Turn that down. Hey, that's my car. Actually, that's an older model. I think that's a 35. Oh, there he goes. Down on the ground. Damn, dude. Damn. All right, he's out. Shit. Oh, shit. Oh, goddamn, man. He's out. Okay, here's a different angle. And that's the punching in the stomach. A couple across the face. And now the video continues from this angle. To go further to show you more. God damn, man. This. How much you want to bet he just lives in the apartments up above and just didn't want to listen to the tires squealing or something? Oh, now they sit him up and kick him in the ass. That kid's like, all right, let's stop. But there's a good facial of that kid. I wonder if he got in trouble. Where are the cops, though, right now? They shut down a four-way stop to do this. So where are the cops? Wait a minute. Did they defund the police in Oakland? I mean, look at that guy. He is just knocked out, bleeding. He could be internally bleeding right now. They punched the shit out of his chest and stomach. Oh, there's that classic line that everybody's got to use. That's so funny. That's actually, I think that is the G35. Yeah, that's the G35. I have the G37. So that's the older model. This guy puts his head in a bucket. Jesus Christ, people. That is just absolutely awful. I don't want to see anybody get treated that way. This has nothing to do with the fact that that guy's white, even though it has everything to do with the fact that that guy's white. And the reason it has everything to do with the fact that that guy is white is because the narrative is white people are racist. White people are, it's okay for this to happen because we had our time. But at the same time, I don't want to see anybody get treated this way. That was just horrible. Absolutely horrible. You know? To watch all of them beat the fuck out. No one's calling the cops. Ambulances are not showing up. And you have a four-way stop shut down. Nobody's trying to get through. There's no passing officers. Nobody in the apartments around that entire area bothered to be like calling anybody. So I don't know, man. I don't want to see anybody go through this. This is fucking stupid. Should that guy have tried to stop them? I don't think he should have tried to stop them. I think he went about it incorrectly. This is why we have law enforcement. This is why you call them. This is why you don't defund them, right? Because then shit like this doesn't happen. Because then they're doing their job. They're allowed to do their job. But the more we rip away, the easier we're making it for this to become the normal. Where nobody's safe. Man, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal. And I'm not feeling bad for him because he's white. I'm feeling bad for him because he just got his ass handed to him, and now he's laying on a sidewalk, you know, probably with internal bleeding and probably having trouble breathing because he's going to eventually just choke on his own blood. That's so fucked up, man. You got white, brown, yellow, it doesn't matter. Anybody that does this to anybody is just a piece of shit. All right, so introducing ArtChax, the $3 million Japanese robot revolutionizing work. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Introducing ArtChax, the $3 million Japanese robot revolutionizing work. Look at it. It's pretty cool. That's the face up there. Body. I mean, does anybody else think that these robots look so close to what you used to watch on TV and in movies? Now, is that because that's what we've always looked at? So that's what the designers have to go off of? Or when you build a robot, they just always look like what was drawn for us because that's the way that you build a robot? I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of both, right? But, I mean, they must have so many hydraulic wires and everything else. In a groundbreaking development, Japanese robotics company Tektron has unveiled its latest creation, ArtChax, the state-of-the-art humanoid robot designed to revolutionize the way we work. Priced at a staggering $3 million, ArtChax is set to redefine the boundaries of automation and artificial intelligence in the workplace. ArtChax, short for Advanced Robotic Companion for Human Assistance and Execution. Execution? I don't think that word should be in there. That doesn't sound like a word I want any AI or robot to have or know at all. Is equipped with cutting-edge technology that enables it to perform a wide range of tasks with remarkable precision and efficiency, from data analysis and customer service to physical labor and even creative work. This humanoid robot is poised to become an indispensable asset across various industries. Oh yeah, let's see. Wait a minute. That's it? Oh. Oh, you get in it? Oh, shut up. This is like,
main switch on.
Aliens. What? Well, no wonder it's $3 million. Vehicle mode? Holy smokes. That is not what I was expecting at all. I thought it was an actual humanoid robot. That is a bodysuit, like an alien's. That is wild. What are we even talking about? That is the same, like, remember that thing? And she got in it, and she had to beat up the alien with it. That is damn close to that. Except that thing was only capable of walking around and doing work and stuff. This thing can actually turn into a vehicle. So not only does it turn into a vehicle and allow doing certain tasks easier with a human inside of it driving it, but now it's a vehicle? Wow. Wow. I mean, we are just making everything I knew in a movie to be fictional to be real today, which is absolutely insane. Insane. I like to, you know, always add in Tesla whenever they are doing something. And they have come out with a brand new humanoid robot, not human capable of driving it. This is more of what I thought the Japanese robot was going to be. And this right here is wild. Wild, wild, wild.
Got 10 fingers and can dance just as good as Elon Musk. What is it? I'm Cuthbert CyberGuy. Follow me at cyberguy.com and sign up for my newsletter. Now, if your answer is an update to Tesla's humanoid robot, you got it. Tesla has released the second generation of its attempt at designing a human-like robot, the Optimus Gen 2. Unlike humanoid robots from tech companies like Boston Dynamics, the Optimus Gen 2 is not designed to do backflips or jump across gaps, but is designed to be mass-produced for use in the workforce as soon as possible. Aside from the sleek new look, hardware updates on this model mean that it's 22 pounds lighter, moves 30% faster, and has improved hands with 11 degrees of movement freedom, as well as tactile sensors for better manipulation of objects. Considering how quickly AI learning is improving the way humanoid robots interact with the world, robots like this may be stepping into the workforce sooner than expected. Only thing it won't be asking for? A raise anytime soon.
I mean, that is just wild. How real does that look? I'm telling you. Do we even have 5 years left before these things are everywhere? You know, the little security robot for businesses made by Amazon, the Tesla robots, Anchak's bodysuit robot. Like, I mean, this shit is so wild and coming at us so rapidly. And now with AI being able to fix itself and fix mistakes that maybe humans made in the programming and correcting itself and making itself smarter, faster, and more capable. Do we even have 5 years left before this thing figures it out? Think about it, right? I've been on this planet for 44 years. AI that was made 4 years ago knows way more than I do in 4 years. 4 years. It knows more than I would even be capable of knowing. So what's going to happen in another 4 years? You know, they're already starting to change a lot of the ways that we do things. And, you know, the biggest thing that I heard out of all of this stuff today was that it's not going to be asking for a raise anytime soon. It doesn't need food, doesn't need water, and it doesn't need to go to the bathroom. How long before every corporation out there is just like, this is so much easier to deal with. I don't have to give it a review. I don't have to give it a raise. It doesn't need to stop, eat, drink, go to the bathroom, or waste time on its phone. Hired. You know, what are we going to do when we don't have jobs left? What are we going to do when they change the currency of gold and silver? What are we going to do without jobs and without money? Well, I'll tell you this much. We're getting that much closer to having nothing and being happy. And on that note, everybody, I just want to say thank you again to all of my subscribers. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to the new subscribers. And of course, if you're new to the podcast, remember to subscribe. It is that important. So be doing that. It's free for you. And then, of course, if you want to be a guest or tell your story, T-A-L-K-I-M with Topher at gmail.com. That's the official email of the podcast. So go ahead and send an audio, video, or type it out. But make sure you send it over to the official email of the podcast, T-A-L-K-I-N with Topher at gmail.com. And, of course, don't forget about the link tree. Super important. Go ahead and click that for me. Check out all the social media. Follow, subscribe, do those things, and of course, copy that link, share it with everyone you know, and help me make the podcast bigger. I do hope that everybody out there enjoys their Thursday. Enjoy the first weekend of the new year, and as always, I will talk to you later.